Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN. This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
It's good to be back, Eastern Iowa. How you doing? Spencer on Sports here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Back after what feels like an eternity away. It was really just three shows that I missed, but we missed a lot. So let's catch up. Got 2 hours to do so. Hanging out like always till 6 here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. And of course, we're glad you're along for the ride here on this May 19th edition of Spencer on Sports. 319-366-1600. That is the talk line and the text line, both open for you here, like always, on a weekday afternoon. Cubs baseball coming up after the show tonight. Cubs and Milwaukee Brewers. Interesting outcome last night, that is for sure. Milwaukee with the win over the Cubs. We'll talk more about that and look at tonight's matchup coming up on a Cubs report later on this later on in the show, I should say. Of course, brought to you by our friends at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in downtown Iowa City. Between now and then, though, we've got plenty to get to. Take a look back at what happened last night. An instant classic. You know, I've made this analogy before, but you've ever played college football, sports video games. You have a really good game, like a 54-52 triple overtime game to win the national championship, and it always popped up on the screen. Instant classic. And I'm dating myself because when I played those video games back when I gamed a little bit more than I did now, it always said ESPN Classic. That channel doesn't exist anymore, so that really is dating myself. But that's certainly what we got last night in the NBA. The Spurs beating the Thunder. Is this the sign the Spurs are going to upset the Thunder, or is this the wake-up call for OKC? We'll talk about that and a little bit more coming up here in the next few minutes on our last night look back here on the program. Also have the debut of something new. I'm calling it the what are we doing moment of the day, and it has to do with college eligibility. We have another case of someone who should not be playing college sports again, attempting to play college sports again because the rules are so ambiguous. We have rules, but we don't follow them, but we do follow them in some cases. I got to talk about this. We'll talk about it coming up just after 4:30. Also, an interesting development of the Brendan Sorsby case, if you've been following that. The former Cincinnati quarterback transferred to Texas Tech. It's been revealed that he was betting on football, betting on his own team when he was at Indiana. And now he's probably not going to play college football again, but my friends, lawsuits. Yep. There's a lawsuit trying to find an injunction, trying to get him to play college football. And they want it decided pretty quickly because the supplemental draft for the NFL is coming soon. More on that. Got a clip from ESPN's Pete Thamel, which we'll play, and we'll talk more about that coming up on our What Are We Doing segment of the week. Want to squeeze in a Say What segment as well because Jackson Smith and Jigba of the Seattle Seahawks, the Super Bowl champion Seahawks, not too thrilled with his Offensive Player of the Year trophy, which he got from the NFL. I'll tell you why at about 4:50 tonight. Got You Make the Call, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, on the way at 5:10. Going to talk about the NFL schedule reveal. Did not have a chance to speak on that on the show. I want to get your take on your team's schedule and the game or games you're most looking forward to. Discuss that after 5:10. A few other NFL headlines to toss around. Like I mentioned, Cubs report and the sports menu. All that before 6 here on 1600 ESPN. 319-366-1600. Isaac's back for the duration as well. How's it going? Been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, but glad to be back. And I'm super, I'm so pumped to see as many games possible of Thunder Spurs in that series. Because game one, awesome. Just an all-time great game. First double, we'll get into it more, but
yeah,
there's a ton of like first time this has happened in a while sort of stats that are associated with that game. And we'll see how Eastern Conference Finals goes. I'm not as pumped up about that just because the Knicks feel so unbeatable and the Cavs look pretty shaky. But the Western Conference Finals, I'm so pumped up for. That game one was just unbelievable.
The vibe could not be more different. When it comes to people, like excitement level.
Yes.
For the two series. People are excited about Knicks Cavs, absolutely. There are plenty of Knicks fans. Pistons fans are not too thrilled because their team got knocked out in Game 7 by Cleveland. But Cleveland fans obviously are pumped up to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. But there is kind of that feeling of a little bit of inevitability for the Knicks in the East. But I think the Cavs can give them a good series. I don't want to put necessarily a number on it. I don't think it'll go 7, but I think the Cavs will make it a competitive series, especially if Donovan Mitchell and James Harden are playing at their best. But the excitement once the Spurs closed out the Wolves last weekend, the excitement for Spurs Thunder was instantaneous because you have a team with a very young core, obviously some veterans on that team in San Antonio, going up against the champs who everybody, including myself, just kind of said, hey, the Thunder are going to win it. Forget about it. Just tear up the sheet of paper. We're done here. It didn't look like it was not that easy. We knew it wasn't going to be that easy, but a double overtime, kind of thrilling victory last night has a lot of people saying, wait a minute, should we have paid more attention to the Spurs, or are we being a little too hasty and overreacting to Game 1? That's a perfectly, I think, legitimate debate to have. At this point in time, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Also, we have some business to attend to. We need a new team of the show in the NHL. Justin, one of our loyal listeners out there, has been cheering for Montreal since the series started against our beloved Buffalo Sabres. So that's 3 years in a row now. The last two, of course, ended in heartbreak in the Stanley Cup final for our team of the show, the Edmonton Oilers. This year, we don't even get to the conference finals and our team gets knocked out. I'm glad we didn't choose Edmonton, but we also, as the I forget the guy's name, the creepy knight guy at the end of Indiana Jones, I chose poorly. Although I like the Buffalo story. They played well all season, but we need a new team of the show with the final four teams left in hockey. Do we jump on the Montreal bandwagon? Isaac, is that acceptable to cheer for the team that knocked our team out? Can we do that? Or is that just kind of bandwagon hopping? Is that acceptable in your mind?
I think it's acceptable. I mean, I don't want to pick either the Avalanche or the Golden Knights. So I don't want to pick either of those teams. So I'm fine between either the Hurricanes or Canadians. But
Carolina or Montreal? Yeah. Montreal's the Canada's best chance to win a Stanley Cup. I mean Edmonton, last couple seasons, obviously, but Montreal's actually played. Carolina, you talk about inevitable. Carolina feels inevitable. They're 8-0 in the postseason going into this round. So we need a new team of the show. Who should it be? This is for hockey. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, 319-366-1600. Who should our new team of the show be? I am nominating Montreal. Isaac says nobody in the West. So it's between Montreal and Carolina. I think Carolina has the best chance to actually win something, but they weren't our original pick, so it only counts as like half credit. You know, you get like a test question partially correct. You have a few true facts in there. The rest of it kind of is askew. That's what it feels like if we pick the right team and they end up winning the Stanley Cup. But I think Montreal. I think we just, okay, you knocked us out, go win the whole thing. That's kind of where my brain's at, but I could be completely wrong. 319-366-1600. Let's get going here on a Tuesday. It is our last night look back, and we're talking hoops to begin the show.
What's happening?
Big news. This just in.
This is really important.
Wow, that is really, really big.
That was really, really big. Big game. Epic performance last night, epic game to lead things off. Victor Wembanyama, historic performance last night. Instant classic double overtime win over the Oklahoma City Thunder. Victor Wembanyama, 41-24 last night, the youngest player with 40 points and 20 rebounds in a playoff game in NBA history. Just one of the records that were set as the Spurs shocked the Thunder. Really did, honestly. I didn't think the Thunder were going to sweep the Spurs. I figured the Spurs would win one, maybe two. Because they're a good team. They've got Victor Wembanyama, who's an alien. The alien. Wouldn't be surprised if Scooby-Doo style one day he just ripped off the mask and he was Marvin the Martian. I know I'm mixing my cartoons here, but you get what I'm saying. He's incredible at what he does. So, yeah, the Spurs were going to make this a competitive series, and the Thunder fell in game one. So they are not necessarily invincible. They're slightly vincible. I think they might still and still likely will win this series. But 122-115 double overtime thriller last night. Are the Spurs the team we should have been paying attention to all along? Did we doubt the Spurs too much, or are we overreacting to game one of a best of seven series? What do you make of last night? 319-366-1600. I think the easy answer is we're making a little bit too much of last night, but you cannot overlook the talent that San Antonio has. Can Oklahoma City make the adjustments needed? And how does Wemby follow up a night where the sheet of, as Isaac referenced, the sheet of records set is almost a full page long? Because it was an incredible performance last night, and it's going to be hard, especially if they go up 2-0, right? The Thunder aren't able to make their shots. It's going to be tough to get it done. But the Thunder have that championship, you know, medal. They've done this before. They have championship experience, playoff experience. That's so important on this in any postseason, but especially the NBA, because the season, right, the regular season and the postseason are so different from each other. You need to have a knowledge of what happens in the postseason. So am I surprised the Spurs won last night? Not necessarily. Winning in Oklahoma City, I think, is the biggest kind of feat there, because OKC is, I mean, just so good, right? Anytime they take the floor, period, but especially at home, dealing with the home crowd there in Oklahoma City. Spurs, I think, maybe kind of taking a page from the Wolves playbook and the old, okay, let's steal this game, get the home court advantage back. The Thunder hoping that this is kind of the, oh, okay, they have our attention now. We're going to do what we can to get back in this series. They're only down one game to none, so they're not down three games to none by any means. It's only one game. There's still games that can be made up. But Victor Wembanyama is, I mean, again, they call him the alien for a reason. And when he's putting up the numbers he did, when he's blocking the shots that he did, when he's able to basically control the game, it's hard to defend. How do you defend him? We've talked about this conversation before. Even Rudy Gobert, one of the best defensive players in the league. How do you defend Victor Wembanyama? I couldn't do it because I'm an overweight guy who does sports talk radio. Okay? Even my most confident state. Ain't touching that guy. So when you have professional basketball players who are paid to do this for a living, and they're struggling to figure it out, it creates a rather interesting dynamic, rather interesting matchup scenario. I think it's obviously way too soon to say it's in here. Oh, the Spurs are going to sweep them. No, I don't think that's going to happen. But this is going to be a bigger test than I think most people thought OKC would get here in the first round. 319-366-1600. What did you make of, first of all, Wemby's performance? I mean, is there anything this guy can't do? Right? That's a question I keep popping in my head every time I look at a stat line like this. But what did you make of the Spurs stealing one in double overtime last night?
Yeah, so on the Spurs point, they've just been playing really hot recently. And there was always going to be some issues, I think, for the Thunder. J-Dub is back after an extended period of time off. On top of it's been a week since they've played, and the Spurs are coming off back-to-back wins against the Timberwolves, where they just blew them out and really had things rolling. So a ton of momentum going into that game. And then on the Wemby point, like you said, there's not much you can really do to stop him. I mean, the dude is 7'5 and hit like a 30-foot 3-point shot to I can't remember if it was to tie it up or take a 4-point lead or something like that, but it was a 28-footer late in that game. It's just kind of like, what do you do? And then the pretty soon after in that double overtime, he just kind of would lob it up to him and he'd just be there to dunk it in. Like, there's just not much you can really do. And it kind of felt like, to me, we'll see how the rest of the playoffs goes, but to me, the title of best player in the world is like totally up for grabs this offseason, this postseason, because Jokic got bounced in round one. SGA is coming off back-to-back MVPs and obviously won the championship last year. And Wemby had a really, really strong case, and is putting it with performances like that. I mean, he puts himself right in the middle of the conversation of, hey, he might already be 22, but he might already be the best player in the league. So maybe that's hyperbolic after one game, but we got to see how the rest of the playoffs turn out for him there. But it's totally up for grabs, and I think Wemby is right in the middle of that conversation. But for the Spurs, it's a win. I think they were more likely to win game one than they were going to be game two, I guess is how I'll put it. Like, I feel like with the J-Dub coming back and the momentum they carried into this game, it felt like if the Spurs were going to steal one on the road, it was going to be game one.
The third game one to go to multiple overtimes in the last 40 seasons. They all involve Spurs wins. So when you have multiple overtimes in a game one, chances are it is the San Antonio Spurs getting the job done. Here's a little bit from Mitch Johnson on Wemby having a special night last night. The coach's perspective from last night.
I thought his level of physicality and execution through physicality was tremendous. His rebounding obviously shows itself in the box score, but was off the charts. Defensively, he was in a stance almost all night, and I thought he did a good job of, and the guys along with him, just being stubborn in terms of they made some shots, and they did, obviously, you got to give up something when you try to take things away, and at times when they made shots or they made us pay for whatever we were trying to do, we stuck with it, and he led the way. I mean, that's 49 big minutes, and it was high level for the majority of those.
Wembanyama, the fourth player in NBA history with 40 and 20 in game one of a playoff series, joining just Wilt Chamberlain, Shaquille O'Neal, and Nikola Jokic. He's the first player with 40 and 20 in any conference finals or NBA finals game since 2001 when Shaq did it back in game one against the Sixers. The Sickos, Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah, that's the new team they're adding to the NBA. Wembanyama, the second player in Spurs history with 40 and 20 in a playoff game, joining the Admiral David Robinson, who did it back in the 1996 first round. And 16 points on 6 of 9 shooting in clutch time, scored or assisted on 18 of the 31 points in clutch time. So he's clutch. And clutch is what you need when you're trying to take out the defending champ. So a historic night, a lot of names he's joining on that list. It's one game, he's got a whole career to go, but for someone so early in his career, right, it's been impressive to watch, and we'll see what he does for game two.
Yeah, I mean, again, totally just completely remarkable performance. One that I think, again, depending on how the playoffs turn out, could be like that was the start of the Wembanyama era, was like that game. If they go on to beat the Thunder and then even potentially win the title this year, that could be like the game where like, oh, this was when he kind of put his stamp, like, I am that guy now. As far as what the Thunder need to do, I think the most obvious thing is Chet has to be better at defending Wemby. Like, he has to be willing to take up that assignment, because Caruso, I actually thought, did a pretty good job being physical with him and disrupting him a little bit, although he's got like a foot size difference in that matchup. I thought Caruso for that size difference, I think, did a decent job. But Chet's the one who actually matches up closely size-wise, obviously still giving up a couple inches there. But Chet's got to be willing to pick up that defensive assignment in order to slow Wemby down, because there's just not, for Caruso, however good he did, he still just can't defend him like deep in the paint or anything like that. And Chet can, because he does have the length. So the Thunder have to look to Chet to actually step up and be willing to take that defensive assignment, not just pass it off to J-Dub or Caruso.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander last night, big reason why OKC not able to close it out was his struggles, named MVP for the second year in a row. You mentioned that. 7 of 23 from the floor last night. Most missed field goals in a game this postseason, 16 misses. And he finished with 24 points, a game worst minus 15 on the plus-minus, which is not something you're used to seeing with with a two-time MVP. That is for sure. This is Mitch Johnson, again, their defensive effort. Talking about their defensive effort against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in a game one win.
We try to keep guys fresh on him and just make it hard for him. I mean, he's so dynamic, gets to spots, one of the best I've ever seen in terms of angles and being able to take up space and use your physicality against you in terms of leverage. I thought we did a good job of trying to contest without fouling and make him take tough shots, and he's going to make shots, and sometimes he misses shots. You may not have anything to do with it, but you're just trying to make him work.
And on the flip side for OKC, this is the aforementioned Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and how they can use their playoff experience to come back and win this series. Down one game to none, can win four in a row. That would be the easy way out, but it feels like the series is going to be anything but easy for the defending champs.
Yeah. I mean, we've been in this situation before, so this feeling's not really new, but it's also a completely different basketball team. But I think that the thing that remains the same is we have to get better with each game. We have to learn the mistakes from the wins and the losses, tonight the losses, and continue to get better. We did that in the previous two when we lost game one. We have to do so again this series if we want to give ourselves a chance.
That was the Thunder's first playoff loss this postseason. After starting 8-0, lost snapping a franchise record 9-game win streak dating back to last season. Of course, won game 7 of the finals. Or the unfortunate injury to Tyrese Halliburton, and then you get out of that, win 8 straight, so that's 9 straight wins there. Teams that win Game 7 in a best-of-7 series, the series record all-time 484 and 161. Teams have a 7-5 series record in that situation during this postseason. So most often, you win the series if you win Game 1 this postseason. Hasn't necessarily always been the case, that is for sure. But incredible performance last night. That is for sure, as the Spurs win 41-24 from Victor Wembanyama. Double overtime win last night. Just one of the many things that happened